Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In our reading today from the first letter of Peter, we are urged to be like living stones and like newborn infants, seeking the spiritual milk of salvation and mercy through our relationship with Jesus. And this portion of this text reminds me of the first time that I had the honor of baptizing someone. Now, this was actually before I was ordained. And it's important to know that if you are a baptized Christian, you can baptize another person in an emergency. And the instructions for how to do this are on pages 313 to 314 of our Book of Common Prayer, in case you want to prepare in advance. But we're all commissioned to do this. So the first time I administered holy baptism was while I was a chaplain intern at a Boston hospital, and there was a baby in the newborn intensive care unit who was not doing well. And the family called the chaplain's office and asked if he could be baptized, and I was the chaplain on call for the hospital that Saturday. And so we gathered in the morning in a room in the NICU, standing around this incubator covered with a colorful baby blanket. The baby inside was named Peter, like the apostle, a name that comes from the Greek word petros, which means rock or stone. I will never forget what it felt like to put my hand through that small hole of the incubator, to pour water on Peter's head, and to baptize him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Peter's mothers and godparents were able to be present for the baptism, and with the nurse's permission, after I had baptized Peter, I invited each person present to reach into the incubator and bless baby Peter by putting their hand on his head and making the sign of the cross. Baptizing Peter, this little rock, this little stone, was for us in that moment a powerful, incarnated reminder of the cornerstone of God's love, outpouring for Peter and for all of us in that small hospital room. There are many rocks, many stones in our scripture readings today, literal and figurative stones. Through Psalm 31, we pray to God to be our rock and our stronghold, our protection, our strength, our salvation. In our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, stones are used by a lynch mob to murder Stephen, after he shares his controversial testimony with them and his vision of Jesus in heaven with God. The stoning of Stephen is a horrific scene that echoes Jesus' execution on the cross and holds up a mirror to the violence within us and around us as humans. The crowd kills Stephen because they do not agree with what he is saying, because what he is saying makes them uncomfortable, angry. These last weeks have been filled with headlines and stories in which violence and murder seem to have taken the place of human-to-human communication in the case of uncomfortable situations, misunderstandings, or even neighborly requests. One thing that stands out to me in this passage from Acts is that the crowd refuses to continue to listen to Stephen. They cover their ears, right? And then they rush forward to overtake him? What is lost when we will not listen to one another? When we cannot see one another? When we will not speak with one another? When we refuse to communicate and cover our ears and willfully turn away from one another, or worse, hurt, silence, and kill one another? From these death-dealing stones, we turn to living stones in our second reading today. We started out by remembering baby Peter, and our epistle today is from a different Peter, from the apostle Simon, who Jesus calls Peter, or Cephas in the original Aramaic. Remember, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says to Simon, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." So in this letter, the apostle Peter, or someone writing in his name, as was common in ancient times, reminds us that Jesus is our living stone, and that we, in turn, as his followers, are also living stones. Peter urges Jesus' followers, us, to let ourselves be built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. This is one of those important reminders that the church is not a building. It is us, the living stones. We are the body of Christ. We are the living stones of the church, and we are called to be a priesthood of all believers, not just clergy. All of us. We are all called to be living stones who strengthen first and foremost not our buildings or our property, but first and foremost our relationships with God and with one another. Jesus reminds us of the foundational importance of these relationships in our gospel reading from John. Jesus tells his disciples and us, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Using an older and more embodied definition of belief that we talked about a few weeks ago, belief as setting your heart on something, we could hear Jesus say here, "Set your heart on God, set your heart also on me." The rock, the stone in this gospel passage is implied. The cornerstone here is Jesus and our relationship with him. Jesus tells us in this passage that he goes before us to prepare a heavenly place for us with God. And one way to think about this place is not just as a physical home, but rather as the home of Christ's relationship with God and Christ's relationship with us. And Jesus here is the foundation, the connecting cement, the stone path in these relationships, the way, the truth, and the life, as he puts it. After we baptized baby Peter in the NICU, I was leaving the hospital room when his nurse pulled me aside to thank me. And she was weeping. And she said, "I have to tell you something. While you were baptizing Peter and while you all were blessing him, his vital signs improved. Steadily and markedly, his vital signs improved. He could feel the love," she said. I don't know whether baby Peter lived or died. I didn't check his record after that day. I do know that baby Peter was and is loved by all of us who surrounded him that day, and by the Holy Spirit who baptized Peter and baptizes all of us in the waters of birth. God's sacrament of baptism, of water and blessing and promise and transformation, is not holy fire insurance. God's sacrament of baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace and love from God that is already present, always. Jesus himself was baptized with water in the Holy Spirit to be connected with us and in solidarity with us, in relationship with us. So baby Peter and all of us are baptized into Jesus' baptism, into Jesus' life and death and resurrection. So the consolation and the truth for us as Christians is that whether or not he lived or died, baby Peter lives. Whether or not we live or die, we live because we are alive in Christ. Baby Peter, the Apostle St. Peter, St. Stephen, all of us live because we are loved by God and alive in Christ. And through this life-giving and transformational love, we are called to be those living stones who build and strengthen and maintain healthy relationships with God and with one another. So how do we build and strengthen these foundational relationships here in our community? Through prayer for ourselves and for others. Through engaging with Holy Scripture and exploring how God's stories intersect with our own stories. Through coming to God's table together as the body of Christ to receive and be nourished by the body of Christ in the Eucharist. Through seeking and serving Jesus in one another and in our neighbors. By strengthening the foundation of our relationships with God and one another, we become living stones, alive in Christ. Not stones that hurt or harm or kill, but stones that build up and strengthen through loving connection. We become living stones alive in Jesus, who is our living cornerstone, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.